Lord, as we have read and heard these words from the ancient prophet Isaiah, having a meaning for the people of Israel, but also looking forward in time to your servant Jesus, and even to this time of your servants whom you call today to be part of your ministry. Lord, there's many challenges in that text. We pray, O Lord, that our hearts and our minds may be open this day, that we may have a sense of, and a message from you of what you are calling us as your disciples to be doing. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we celebrate our nation's birth and independence, we recognize that the freedoms we enjoy and the privileges we share were not easily achieved. Several wars have taken place in and on behalf of our country to protect and defend our rights. The birth of our nation instigated what we call the Revolutionary War. But this morning, I'd like to reflect on another war in our history. While the revolution was, the revolution was against Britain, the Civil War was against fellow Americans, as gunfire erupted between Southern and Northern forces in 1861. What can this conflict teach us as we face the battles going on in our society today? One remarkable thing about the Civil War is that both the North and the South assumed that God was on their side. Both felt the Lord was speaking of them when they heard the words of Isaiah, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him." The South, in particular, had some powerful and persuasive preachers who used the Bible to defend the institution of slavery. Taking the Bible literally, they preached that humans had no business questioning the Word of God when it said, these are some examples, all from the New Testament, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. Let all who are under the yoke of slavery regard their masters as worthy of all honor. Tell slaves to be submissive to their masters and to give satisfaction in every respect. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh." Christians who wanted to preserve slavery could live by the slogan, "The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it." It's no wonder that the people of the South believed that God was on their side. The preachers of the North had to be a little more creative in their biblical interpretation, but they too found a way to defend their cause. Some emphasized that the United States had to be preserved because without its advance, without the Union, the advance of liberty around the world would be slowed or even stopped. "If America is lost, the world is lost," said one preacher in a Thanksgiving sermon. Historian James Howell Moorhead points out that other ministers drew on the book of Revelation to suggest that a northern victory might prepare the way for the coming of God's kingdom on earth. Still others preached that God would not allow the North to win until it took decisive steps to end slavery. The Battle Hymn of the Republic summed up the beliefs of the Union as well with these words, "In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigured you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, while God is marching on." Theological shots were fired from both the South and the North, and both sides were convinced that they were acting as the Lord's servant, with God right beside them. They were bringing to life a warning that George Washington, our first president, had written 70 years earlier when he wrote these words, "Religious controversies are always productive of more acrimony, and irreconcilable hatreds than those which spring from any other cause. Religious controversies, acrimony, irreconcilable hatreds. True then, true today. But then another president, Abraham Lincoln, offered a very different and most constructive perspective on religious warfare. He said, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side." So are we on God's side? That's a question that we are left with today. In the middle of our contemporary civil wars, are we on God's side? Not questioning if God's with us, but are we with God? We will be if we act like the servant of the Lord in Isaiah, the one who will not cry or lift up his voice, but instead will faithfully bring forth justice. Those who serve the Lord have a mission to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. Christians who do these things will always find themselves right where they need to be, on the side of God. This is not a north-south issue, nor is it a right-left, blue-red, gay-straight, Republican-Democratic. Wherever we find ourselves on the cultural, theological, and political spectrum, we are challenged, when shots are being fired, to be the Lord's servant. The key is not to take a particular stand, but to play a distinctive role, one that's civil, one that is serving. A servant role, a civil servant, if you would. Look at the role the servant takes on in the book of Isaiah. God says, "I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." The servant is filled with God's Spirit in order to bring justice to the nations, which means to go out into the world to protect the rule of law, to uphold human rights, to deliver social justice, and to maintain daily healthy relationships. The Bible is particularly concerned about people who are often denied justice because of their lack of power. For example, widows, orphans, and resident aliens. So the first role of the servant of the Lord is to bring forth justice, to bring the justice of God's kingdom into the middle of human life. We do this whenever we treat people fairly and respect their rights, seeing them as precious children of God, made in his image and his likeness. We do this when we pay special attention to people who are vulnerable and in danger of being mistreated by others. Jose Rosales came to the United States to work and support his family. He sent every spare penny he made back home to Guatemala and spent all of his free time in church. Many people in America today might have looked down on him or even abused him. But Jose worked hard and earned the trust of a family in Centerville, Virginia. They gave him steady work in their construction and real estate business, and they treated him fairly, especially during tough economic times. This family viewed Jose as a child of God, and then he became a hero. One spring morning, two armed men broke into the family's four-car garage. The gunmen threatened the family, and Jose tried to protect them. He jumped one of the invaders. Shots were fired, and Jose was killed. The two intruders fled, and the family was stunned. "Without Jose, I firmly believe I would not be alive right now," the father of the family told the media. He stood strong to protect people who were not related to him. He's a guardian angel. The father said he plans to help Jose's family like he helped my family. Help his family out however we can. This brings forth justice, being a servant of the Lord. We move back to our scripture. We also notice that the ways in which true servants do their work is this: he will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. These civil servants are not loud and obnoxious. They're not destructive or domineering. They do their work quietly and compassionately, with respect for the other people around them, while also standing strong for what they believe in. He will not grow faint or be crushed, predicts Isaiah, until he has established justice in the earth. Protesters from the far left and the radical right should study this passage. There's a better way than waving signs and screaming insults or firing verbal shots at the opposition. True servants of the Lord always produce more light than heat. In fact, they're sent to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. God's servants bring light into darkness and help people see new ways of living together. They work for the liberation of anyone who's trapped in poverty, in addiction, in homelessness, in loneliness, in despair. Servants of the Lord are constantly working to free those who are enslaved. In our country's Civil War in the mid-1800s, the North and South did battle over slavery. In our civil wars today, we're fighting about many cultural, political, and theological issues. And oddly enough, the way out of our struggles is not going to be to fight harder, but to serve better. As we celebrate our nation's birth and independence, may we also seek ways to serve our Lord by reaching out to those in need. Let's pray together. O God, this week we celebrate who we are and where we live. In our pride, make us also humble, for we are aware of our freedom, but also aware that sometimes our freedom and our fortune has cost others theirs. Give us your perspective this week, not only to enjoy celebration, but to know that we cannot celebrate fully until the world joins us as a community of care. We lift to you prisoners of conscience, poverty, cruel regimes, and places where freedom is just a dream. May we always be servants, people who remember and work for justice as you would have us do. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.